Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. Whatever is on your mind, let's chat about it. A couple little observations of things that have been happening with people. Saw a guy today on the side of the freeway walking around like he was totally whacked out. He would try to go on to incoming cars on the freeway now. And then he'd kind of jump back and he was dancing by himself. Everybody was zooming by, and I'm sure somebody called the police because lights were flashing behind me, and they stopped and probably got him. But, man, what's wrong with people these days? They're strange. Anyway, we've got the phone calls coming, and we've got open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and welcome to Open Lines. Last week we had one of the fun open lines of all time. I mean, it just was just fun. I enjoyed it. Let's do that again tonight and try to forget about some of the day-to-day events that have been going on, because you'll go crazy if you do all the time. Later on in the program, next hour toward the end again, I'm going to play a few more little old television clips and see if we can give some books away to people who can guess them. Cornelius guessed The Little Rascals last time. And we sent out his books, and he should have them by now. But we've got full open lines. Oh, by the way, I want to address a couple of emails that I've gotten and have been getting. And that has to do with the election campaign. We handle it primarily in our news segment. We don't try to dwell on it, or we'll do something unusual. I think getting Dick Morris on the air over the last couple of weeks was pretty important, because he worked with the Clintons for so many years. And he's got his book out, which is a bestseller, Armageddon. But I want you to understand something. And this is for you folks who've written me emails specifically about the guests we've had that have talked about the candidates. We try to balance this as much as we can, not necessarily in the same night. You will find that Howard Bloom is a supporter of Hillary Clinton. You can tell when he's on. You could also tell that Dr. John Curtis is a supporter of Donald Trump. You can tell when he's on, even though we ask them specific questions about issues that are going on. I do not pick nor endorse the candidates at all. You will never hear me say that, and that's the way it is. Now, I want to address the emails. Because we have someone on who is pro-Donald Trump does not mean that we are against Hillary Clinton or pro-Donald Trump, because next day we'll probably have somebody on who is pro-Hillary and against Donald. So you have to put that in perspective. I got an email from somebody today that said, oh, you hate Hillary. No, I don't hate anybody. What I want is the truth from both candidates about both things. I happen to think that with Hillary, there's something going on in terms of financial and these emails that could be corruptible. I happen to believe with Donald Trump, he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. I think he's well-intentioned, and I think he's a nice guy, and I think he has tapped into things that most politicians haven't tapped into. And that's why he did so well at the primaries. But folks, let's face it. He's one of the worst extemporaneous speakers I've ever heard. He just puts his foot in his mouth all the time. And now you're hearing that from other people too. But in terms of picking sides or specifics, not happening. And you're not going to hear that from me. So those of you who send emails because you hear one person on one night and another person on another doesn't mean that's what we pick. Now, we will also take your tweets and your text questions. So let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to Vanessa in Kansas City. And what side might that be, Vanessa? I'm going to guess you're on the Missouri side, are you?
Missouri.
There you are.
You know, you got to be proud of it. Between Missouri and Kansas, we got a war.
Yeah, you do.
Well, too, is going to stay on topic of before with the psychic lady talking to the animals. Because it's such a good story. I didn't really have a question for her. I just wanted to say this.
All right, let's hear it.
So I had a stray dog that I took in, and I had him for 10 years, and he was amazing. I'm sure everyone says that I have dogs and cats now, and they're great. But this dog, there was something different about him. Like, just deep when you looked at him. And not only that, he saved other animals. It was very odd. Like, he brought home a baby bird one day, and we took care of it until it was time to fly away. He had it in his mouth without a scratch on it.
Oh, that's cute. He didn't bite down.
Not at all. And another time, my parents were watching him. I went out of town, and they say he was playing with a mouse in the yard, and he went to the road. The mouse did. And a car came, and he went and got the mouse and put it back in the yard.
Oh.
Very different dog. Very different.
Almost as if he might have been a human being in his other life.
It seemed like it. Like, it wasn't just me. Anyone that ever met this dog was, like, just in love with him immediately. And just something different about him. He was just, he was better than a lot of people I ever knew.
It's too bad they can't live as long as people.
You know, turtles and birds, they live to be like 300.
Oh, I know. They just go on forever.
Yeah, and not our man's best friend. It's not fair.
I know. Or cats. I think a cat, you're really pushing a cat if it goes 17, 18 years old, right?
True, yeah.
And most dogs, I don't know, you know, why did the little dogs live longer than the big dogs?
It's the same with people, though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like the big giants, they don't last very long.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I had him 10 years, and he was big. He was a German Shepherd mix. Mutts are my favorite. And his hips just quit on him one day, and I knew it was it. Like, he never had any problems before, but he yelped in the yard, and I don't know why I knew it, but I knew whatever it was going to do him in.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to have a Siberian Husky, and I had a farm. I had a 20-acre farm. I've had a couple farms, but I had a 20-acre farm in Fowlerville, Michigan, back when I was 24, 25, 26. Pretty good accomplishment for that age, I guess. And I had this dog, this Siberian Husky named Nikki. Now, Nikki had a nice doghouse. He stayed outside, and Huskies are used to that. In the summer, we'd let him come in a little bit more. But I had this long 20-foot chain for him, so he couldn't run all over the place when we weren't with him. So I put this chain on him, and, you know, he could go wherever he needed to go in 20 feet, all the way around. There was a chicken that used to come by him every morning, clucking along, and drove him crazy. But somehow this chicken knew that he was on a 20-foot tether. And the chicken would be 25 feet away. And Nikki, the Siberian Husky, could not get to him at all. And he would just go crazy. Every day, chicken would come clucking by 25 feet away. The dog could only go 20. He kept pulling. He couldn't do it. One day, Nikki figured something out. He backed up 10 feet. So that gave him an extra 10 feet. Now, the chicken wasn't as smart as Nikki. The chicken knew you had to stay 5 feet away from Nikki. So Nikki pretended that he was back there, but he had 10 more feet of this tether. The chicken came 5 feet from him. Nikki had 10 feet left. By the time I got to him, the chicken legs were in his mouth, and he had chomped him in like 2 bites. It was horrible. But the dog knew. He was smart. I'm going to take another call, then we'll go to your text message or your tweet. Tom's got that. Let's go to Bernie in New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Hello, Bernie. Good morning to you.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good, good. Listen, what I want to share with you is something a bit personal. It's sort of like the story you just told, but last year I was on the air with you, and you were talking to a psychic, and I had some questions for the psychic. But anyway, when I was on the air with you, I got a vision, and this vision is, I want to describe a room, which I think is probably in your house. Now, what I got when I talked to you was a room with that was on the darker side, possibly a lot of rich wood color, older. There was specifically a Lazy Boy chair, but an older model, possibly with wooden armrests, with a little light extending above it for reading. Now, I noticed around the room a lot of books. Now, I don't, you know, this is what I saw when I talked to you. This popped into my head. I don't know if you can validate any of that for me, or if it's a wow moment for you, or
I have in my St. Louis place what I call my man's room. It's got a pool table in it. It's got two older chairs with wooden armrests on it.
Okay.
And those two chairs are in front of a bookcase that have books that I've had since I was 22 years old.
Interesting
take. Good. You were a little remote viewing on your part.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about with the psychic, about my remote viewing, because I do have this disability, and sometimes things just come to me. And sometimes, thank you for validating it.
No, that's good.
I'm afraid to tell people because sometimes they think you're a little whack job, you know?
They don't get it. Unless they listen to this show, then they'll understand where you're coming from.
Of course not. No, but thank you so much, George.
Okay. That's why we set up ParanormalDate.com. People kept coming up to me at events saying, we can't meet anybody who understands us. So that's why we did it, and people are understanding each other. Tom's with us. Tom, what happened to our couple that was going to get married? Did they get married yet?
I haven't heard from them. I'll check them out. But you know what? I feel bad for that chicken.
That Nikki ate.
What a story.
He was smart. Smart dog.
Smart dog. Bad chicken.
Siberian Huskies, by the way, are just gorgeous animals. They really
are.
They've got blue eyes. You ever see a dog with blue eyes?
Yes, they have.
I mean, they are striking.
Yeah.
They really are.
Awesome. So we have a tweet from Gordon. He says, what percentage of UFO sightings do you think are just people flying drones?
Drones or man-made, I would say 99% are probably natural. I think you've got that small, minute percent that could be extraterrestrial or coming from other origins, but I think most of them are man-made.
Yeah, I think people play. What happened to that drone, by the way, that you bought?
I can't get the thing to fly. It's got four little helicopter things on it, four propellers, and you set them up the right way. You have to turn the propellers in on each end, right? So it kind of looks like a square. They're connected.
Okay.
And then you turn it on, and the thing just keeps spinning on the ground. It won't go up. Now, keep in mind, it's probably as small as a big butterfly. It's not a big drone.
It should work.
But it should work. It should get up there. And I can't do it. You know, the remote works. You know, it spins. The things do their thing, but it just won't lift.
You need Dr. Morgus to help you.
Dr. Morgus would crash the thing.
Never Probably. Know.
All right, let's go to Vance in Georgia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Vance. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
A real quick comment. I didn't get a chance to ask the lady a question that was the animal psychic before, but just a topic just to throw out there. I was wondering if animals had any sort of spirituality or, you know, a thought on
good question.
Almighty Creator or something. I wish I'd have got in. I would have loved to hear her feedback on that. My thing that I'm a long time listener.
And, thank you.
I actually got turned on to Coast, probably about 12, 15 years ago, but I've studied a lot of different things and I've listened to y'all talk about a lot of different topics.
Oh, we sure have. My gosh.
Yes. And, but I've never really listened to y'all, talk about, race relations or racist, issues. And, cause my background is kind of very interesting, and I was just curious because
Well, let me tell you why I don't. There are a couple topics I try to avoid on the program because it's not considered a mainstream talk show. It deals with the weird and the unusual and conspiracies. And so I stay away from things like abortion, race relation issues, not because they're not important, but because it's just not the format of the show.
Understood. Yeah. I was just trying to look at it like, you know, these people, they have, you know, coast to coast will have such a great influence, you know, to, you know, maybe just bring something to format, not like whether it's asking your opinion or not, because y'all have a beautiful outlet and you definitely opened my eyes to a lot of different things, you know.
Now, I'll step outside the box, though, once in a while when there's a police-related issue. You know, if a African-American is shot by police, then we'll talk about that, especially if a community really gets upset. But generally, that's probably where I restrict it.
Okay. Can I share one little thing with you? Maybe,
go ahead.
You have a future show, maybe you can just think about it. But for all, I guess, features or whatnot, I grew up... my background is basically European. You know, I got Scotch, Irish, as well as some indigenous, you know, some Creek and Cherokee, but all, you know, appearances and whatnot, I guess most people consider me European. But I grew up in impoverished black areas all my life, ever since I was young, from a 6 year old, you know, and I used to kind of like, there was no other European or whatnot to become a friend with, so I just embrace people as people. But I felt it from both sides, you know, a family that didn't accept me for being around the people that I lived in the same neighborhood with. And then on the other side, you know, people, you know, would call me all types of hateful names. So it's kind of like I felt the brunt of both sides of, you know, and it's kind of just, you know, something that's dear to me because there's a, you know, it's amazing that, you know, I've allowed myself to keep, you know, self-centered. I more or less had to grow into that.
Yeah, you could have gone the other way.
Yeah, either way, because, you know, you sit there and you watch these little talk shows, and I remember watching one way back when, and the guy was asked, why did you become a skinhead or whatnot? Well, I got jumped on by a group of black guys when I was young and such. Like, well, what if a group of white guys jumped you? You know what? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, people choose different things to become a certain way, but you know, and it's a real touchy issue, especially right around now when they're trying to bait a race war. When it's really, you know, to me that's just a diverse.
Well, that's the biggest problem right now, Vance, and that is people pushing an agenda. Either side, and that's very, very dangerous. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go right back to the phones. We'll go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hi, Gordon. Good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess you remember a few weeks ago we talked about the college loan thing.
Yes.
Did you ever get that email? I know I sent it.
Yes, I sure did.
Okay, good. There are more links on there, and good luck on figuring out which one is the important one.
I know. We're sorting through them now.
Well, okay. Now, here's the good news. My website, if you go down again to Gordon Watts, there's the story down at the bottom of the most recent blog entry at GordonWatts.com or GordonWayneWatts.com. I have two of them. They're identical in case one goes down, but they are
professional. That's smart.
There's the action section where you can go and you can click on the – there are several active petitions. In particular, H.R. 449 is a House bill, okay, and it has bipartisan support. We Republicans – I'm a Republican. I apologize for my party. The Democrats made the loans easily available, but the Republicans recently have been unwilling to return bankruptcy protections. And what that means is that – having the loans in the first place was bad because the colleges raised the price to match the increased borrowing ability. Now, I want to point out one thing I did not point out the last time I called, and this is I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm going to go on record. If we don't get this thing fixed, it's going to crash the U.S. dollar, and here's why. College debt is almost $1.4 trillion. That's a million millions or a thousand billions, a huge number. And the total national debt is a little bit over $14 trillion, maybe it's 16 or 18. So and both of them are growing massively. And so the returning of the bankruptcy and other consumer protections will scare the lenders off, and the people at the banks and the colleges will stop price gouging the students because they'll know they can't afford it. And then reducing the loan limits, John Boehner, a bad Republican, he's good in some ways, but he raised the loan limits with his bill, and it passed with both houses. And by the way, both parties, both the Democrats and the Republicans, have alternatively had the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, and both parties keep raising the loan limits, not giving the a rich person can get bankruptcy, but the college student can't.
Well, let me ask you, though, Gordon, what would you like to see happen? Because here's me. Let me play. Hold on now for a sec. I'll be the devil's advocate. I've paid down student loans for myself, my kids. They've got loans. Nobody forced any of us to go out and get them. So that's question number one.
Okay.
So, I mean, a lot of people are advocating just forget the loans. That would be great. How would we like all our mortgages just forgotten and things like that? But my point is that what are you saying, that the cost of education is too high? Maybe we should lower that, or eliminate the loans altogether? What's the big issue?
Well, now, that's the hardest question that I have ever faced, and it's because there are people that have already paid on to this. I want to point out that Dr. Jill Stein of the Green Party has suggested quantitative easing, which means using tax dollars to print up new money, and although it's better than what either Clinton or Trump have proposed, Trump's main policy analyst has proposed something to start reducing the loan limits. They haven't gotten solid on it. And Clinton did have a bill about bankruptcy rights and whatnot, but she abandoned that quickly. So thanks for getting me back on track. The two things that I would like to do is, one, have some first I want to point out, forgiving the loans would not be inflationary because it would require printing of no dollars. And it would actually be morally just, and the economy would go into a shock. It would, the college, and I remember one thing, college used to be free in America a few decades ago, where it was very low cost, and Germany presently has free college. So we can get the free college, but we can't forgive the loans completely and outright give free college right now, because there'll be withdrawal symptoms. The banks and the universities would go in shock. The weight would be too heavy upon them. They'd file bankruptcy, and it would crash the dollar. But presently, the taxpayer guarantees these predatory, toxic student loans, which are never going to get paid back because they're unreasonably high. The taxpayer and the college student have the load heavily upon them. And by returning bankruptcy, scaring the lenders off, in other words, H.R. 449.
Okay, but Gordon, you didn't answer the question, and that is... Hold on. Nobody forced the kids to go to college and borrow the money. They did that on their own.
Okay, that's the hardest question that I'm going to face.
Well, I know, but I need you to answer it because we're running out of time here.
Well, here's the thing. The students had no choice. If their parents and everyone and their brother, all their counselors said, if you don't go to college, you'll be lucky to be a burger flipper.
Right.
The loans that were, okay, the colleges have overcharged them. There was predatory lending.
All right, so you're saying the price of school is ridiculously high.
There were some laws broken because the students were not told that the loans lacked bankruptcy. And right there, if a banker did that to another banker, the loan would be forgiven in part. It would be reduced, and there would be some penalty assessed. But no, not for college students. The students were deceived. There was deceptive practices.
Well, I agree. I got to move on. I agree that the price of going to school is too high and that they have to lower it to something reasonable for people. But still, the burden has been on people who go there. You want to go to medical school and you borrow to do that? It's going to cost you a fortune, and you end up having to pay that. Now, I'm all for lowering the costs by far, but bottom line is we have to take responsibility for our own actions, and that's what's happening. I mean, how many of us would love our credit cards to be wiped out in our house mortgages and our car payments, but that's not going to happen. at all. Tom, you got another text for me while
actually, we're going to do a tweet.
A tweet.
Again, from Gordon. And he tweets and
says, not the same Gordon I just talked to, is
it's
it?
It's not. It's not.
He's
college,
everywhere.
Not a college loan. This is from Gordon tweet. I was outside last night for like 20 minutes and I saw only two meteors. Is there some sort of trick to watching events in the sky?
Yeah, stay out there. As doctors, you got to stay. You got to look at a certain area, right? I saw one last night after the show, but it's beautiful. Did you know, how big do you think one of those meteors are or is? How big?
Quarter size of the moon.
No. Are you ready for this?
Just a guess, yeah.
So the zooming, what looks like the shooting star that you see,
right?
Whoosh, just like that, you say is a quarter size of the moon.
How does it go?
Whoosh.
Okay. Yeah.
You say it's a quarter size of the moon.
Right.
Are you ready for this?
Go.
It's the size of a grain of sand.
No.
Yes.
Really?
What it does, it's coming into the atmosphere so fast that it illuminates the entire area around it that burns up. And that's what's happening. But the actual little thing that you see is the size of a grain of sand.
So how big is it when it starts?
Oh, who knows? Could be the size of a rock, a pebble, who knows? These are little particles that are coming. Believe me, if something the quarter size of a moon was coming through like that,
we'd know.
We'd all know.
Space is so cool.
I love it. Okay. Next up, let's go to Mary in Lodi, California. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hey, what's up?
I was wondering if you had read, I'm an English teacher, and I was wondering if you had read The Art of Racing in the Rain, because it is about a dog who actually is reincarnated.
I have not.
Oh, it's by Garth Stein. And I have to say, I have to give a shout-out to him because I wrote him an email, and he sent me 35 books free.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and this is a really good book. My kids love it. I teach high school, and they love it.
Would he be a great guest?
Yes.
Send him an email for us.
Send him one?
Yeah, if you're in touch with him, send him an email.
And the book is very lyrically written. It's beautiful, and my students absolutely love it. And it's just what that lady was talking about before.
Well, I got to tell you, it's the wave of the future.
I'm telling you.
There's so many great things out there.
Yeah, dogs have souls.
Oh, they sure do. But get them. Send them an email. Maybe we'll get them on as a guest on the show.
Yeah, please do. Thank you so much. I've listened to you since 2002.
Wow, that's a long time. That's just when I was filling in. I was filling in starting in 2001. It's a long time ago. Next up, we go to the Dowells in Oregon. Jerry is with us, way west of the Rockies. Jerry, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay, Jer. How about you?
Not bad. I wanted to comment about the guy, the Navy SEAL.
Okay.
Because I'm a vet, Vietnam vet myself. And I wanted to be a SEAL. I ended up on a carrier for 3 deployments off Nam.
Perfect. Thanks for serving.
Yeah, and I was there for, in 68, the Tet. And we just worked our butts off. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
We bombed like you wouldn't believe, 24/7 in support of the guys in country.
And didn't make a dent.
Didn't make a dent. And, 58,000 plus young guys died for nothing. And, I'm so mad at the human race and people for this country because we keep sticking our nose in where we don't belong. There's no reason for us to get out there. I think we need to pull our troops home.
We did the same thing in Iraq.
Yeah, yeah. And this country's got problems. And, I mean, everybody talks about Trump and Clinton, but nobody talks about Congress. They control the money strings. They write the bills and the laws. And we need to do something about Congress, I think.
Oh, of course. And Jerry, when you came back from Vietnam, did you see the protests and...
Oh, yes. I was called a baby killer and a murderer and a rapist. And I didn't get spit on like my sister's boyfriend did. He got spit on by some guy when he came back and he got shot.
At least our soldiers today come back with some respect.
Yeah, I mean, I go to the VA hospital. I've had triple bypass. I've had some cancer. I've had kidney, liver, and lung failure, and pneumonia, and legionnaires, and diabetes, and I've been in a coma and all, and I think it was all attributed to the chemical they put in the jet fuel.
Or the Agent Orange they sprayed.
Or Agent Orange or the asbestos poison, because I grew up on two Marine Corps air bases, you know.
Yeah.
But I still think there's a lot of animosity towards the Vietnam vets. I still think we are the most hated veterans of our time.
Which is sad, and I don't get it, but you might be right. There's probably a lot of people who never served who still kind of blame you folks for Vietnam.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't accomplish anything as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, we got a lot of guys killed. We dropped a lot of bombs, shot a lot of bullets.
A lot of innocent people killed, too.
That, too. And for what? Money? I mean, that's what it's all about, and it seems like anymore. You know, we were told it was oil, and then, you know, this and that. So it was all propaganda. You know, CIA, I think, started most of it.
Of course.
And, but, I mean, it was just a bad deal for everybody involved. And there's a lot of guys, I mean, as far as I know, the Vietnam vets still have the highest rate of suicide, drunks, drugs, and homelessness.
Oh, that's sad. And did you know Ho Chi Minh came to us before any of this started and wanted our assistance?
I didn't hear that because I went in at 18 and 65. I quit high school in the 10th grade because of my parents.
We could have dealt with him, worked with him.
Yes.
Never would have had this problem.
And it's like Obama now has said after 50 years they can do arms or whatever. And, you know, like this cell phone I'm talking to you on with Buzz, by the way, thank you, because you said don't hold it to your head.
Good.
Is made in Vietnam.
Everything's made in Asia.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we don't seem to build anything in this country, and we need to. And I'm kind of hoping Trump... You know, I don't know what's going on right now, because like you said, he keeps sticking his foot.
Oh, my God. I've never seen a guy who's imploding as much, because I really thought when he got nominated, he was going to run with this. And I'm not sure anymore. You know, again, well, I don't pick, but I point out the deficiencies and the good stuff. And he was able to pick and put his thumb and pulse on the American public.
Well, people are mad at this country. They're mad at the government.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I can't blame them. I mean, I've got I moved out from Oregon, from Virginia, living inside the Beltway for 24 years.
They don't want to take it anymore. They're fed up.
Yeah, they're fed up. I mean, and it's a zoo back there. I mean, Washington, D.C., it's its own little world, and I try to tell people that, but nobody seems to care, apparently, and so I kind of have a problem with people thinking they're, you know, just a lot of people in this country are kind of like ignorantly stupid. You know, and spoiled and lazy, but, you know, not all people, but I mean, it just, people that I talk to just don't seem to care, you know?
Well, you care. When did when did you have the bypass?
January 29th, 2 years ago. I've never had a heart attack, no stroke. There was just something going wrong after the angiogram.
And they couldn't, they could not put stents in you, I guess, right?
No, they did a triple.
And where'd they get the veins, from the leg or the arm?
The leg. I woke up in my fourth intensive care unit since 99 with one sore leg, three bandages, two big purple spots in my groin and my belly, and a big old bandit on my chest.
Well, they have new scan devices. So every couple of years, you get that test where they can look at your arteries and they don't even have to, you know, cut you open. They'll look at you. They just inject you with a little special dye. And
right.
They can.
Well, I can't take the dye because I had kidney failure and my kidneys came back.
Ah.
They had to be very careful when they did the angiogram in 12.
Got to. Well, just try for some new technology. Just make sure you let them know this.
Yeah, well, the VA, I think what they want to do is another echocardiogram.
Yes.
And because I'm doing 16 pills a day and one of them's a blood heart medicine of four times a day.
What's your echo percent?
I don't know.
You should do around 80. 80 is very good.
Yeah, well, I'm feeling great. The double vision dizziness balance problems I had from the coma had pretty well gone. And I do okay, but I've got nerve damaged feet.
How old are you?
I'm chronologically, I tell people my body is chronologically 69, but I'm still 52. Well, I think I died, George, because the only thing I have no memory of 17 years. And I woke up to a world of white, and the only thing I remember is how very, very black it was, how very dark it was, how very cold it was.
Wow.
That's all I remember.
Did you ever?
I'm doing, right now, talking to you and listening to you, I'm doing word puzzles because I was a student in English. I could not remember how to spell.
That's weird. Missing time, too, probably.
Oh, I don't remember, like I said, until I woke up with that team of five doctors, I got nothing from the last week of August all the way back to 99. I don't remember. I was a 20-year mechanic. I lost all that.
All right, you keep fighting, Jerry, and we're going to keep talking because we're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more open lines. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and a little bit later on tonight, I'm going to try to give out some more books. We're going to have a little fun, but the open lines continue.